Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I had an event, an experience, I should say, yesterday that taught me some things. And I wanted to just use that as a launching point for a real simple message tonight on judgment. Judgment. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 the Lord Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. 1 Peter 4, 5 says he is ready to judge the quick and the dead. You should understand that the word quick means living. The word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews 4, 12, the word quick means living. And when he talks about the living and the dead, he's talking about the saved and the lost. That there's a judgment. There are two judgments in the Bible. There's one for those that are lost. There's one for those that are saved. I'll talk about both those just a little bit tonight. But yesterday, this is an interesting, maybe you'll use this as a launching point. Yesterday, I went over to DMV. Now, I was not feeling well at all, but I took my best medicine, and I got in the bus, and Mark Hall met me here yesterday morning at about 8:45, 8:30, and we drove the bus down to the DMV on Van Buren, and at 9:30, the examiner came out to give me my road skills test, which begins with a test which is called a pre-trip inspection. Now, they have a manual. It's a green, they call it a green book, but it's a manual, and it's got about 15 chapters in it. And these chapters describe everything you need to know to be a commercial driver. Chapter 2 begins with about 7 or 8 pages on the inspection. Then chapter 11 talks about the inspection again. So the inspector came out, and he read me about a paragraph of instructions, and I just was not with it. And when he finished reading those, I remember thinking to myself, I wish I could remember even part of what he said. But I did hear him say this. He said, I want you to inspect the bus. I want you to go around the bus counterclockwise. I want you to start on the left and then go to the back and then come around to the front. And so I said, well, right before I begin, let me ask you a question. I said, in chapter 2 of the manual, there is a 7-step inspection, which I had tried to memorize and knew most of it. And I said, it goes clockwise. I said, I don't mind going counterclockwise, but I've been practicing going clockwise. And he says this to me. He says, there's no 7-step method. Now we know we have a problem. And so at that point in time, I thought to myself, I'm not sure if I can do anything right now because I don't understand why he's not using the part of the book that I'm using or whatever. He said, chapter 11 is a chapter you should have studied. Well, I studied chapter 11 also, but I'd been looking at chapter 2, which describes inspection. So long story short, we went along for about 10 minutes, and he said, no, this isn't going to work. You have to come back in July. that discouraged me greatly because I hate to fail tests. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I wished our whole church was here to hear this. Do you understand that one day you and I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's not going to be a test that you can take over. It is going to be based upon a book. Amen? It's not going to be a sham. And what I mean by that is, it's not going to be a judgment that's just, oh, everything's fine, no problem. I'll read you some more about that. We're going to be judged. And just like yesterday, there are going to be some people, I'm talking about saved people, that are not going to like the results of that judgment, and it'll be too late to do anything about it. I don't want to fail that test. Now, I understand we're not talking about salvation. I'll talk about that in just a minute. We're talking about saved people being judged for their works. But I'm telling you, you can imagine how I felt yesterday when we came back to the church and I did not pass the test. And I thought to myself, what could I have done different? And the frustrating thing is I really wasn't sure what I could have done different because I thought I studied the book. And that's a moot point. By the way, one of the questions he asked me was really fascinating. He said this. He says, are you sure you have the right version? Oh, I can apply that to a message somewhere. He looked at that book, and he had standards, and it didn't matter what I thought. It didn't matter what I had no power to argue. He's the examiner. I am the person being examined, and whatever he says goes. And you and I are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's going to be a detailed examination of our life. And the question is, what will the results be? And after that examination is over, again, no chance to go back and do it again. And we're going to say to ourselves, I'm sorry, but in some cases we're going to say to ourselves, I wish I had prepared better. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Let me show you a few things in the Bible, and we'll I'll hopefully get some things out of this tonight. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help the right folks to hear this message. Lord, probably some that need to hear it the most aren't here tonight. But Lord, that's not the issue. The point is that we just pray that each one of us would understand that we will be examined by you one day. It's a serious matter. It's an eternal matter. We have the opportunity to prepare for that examination right now. In fact, we have the opportunity to even be prepared to succeed when we are examined. But Lord, there's also the potential to not have a successful outcome. I pray you to help us understand the gravity of that matter and how to prepare for it. I pray you'd bless us now as we look into the Word of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Again, two judgments. These judgments are for the saved and for the lost. And in Revelation chapter 20, if you'll turn there, the one for the lost is described. And it's in Revelation chapter 20, I'll read several verses, but verse 12 is really the focal point there. Revelation chapter 20. He says in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And that is the dead. It's the very same dead he describes in 2 Timothy 4 and in 1 Peter 4. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. These are folks that are not saved. These are the wicked, is another term for them. And it says, and the books were opened. There's the standard for the judgment. And another book was opened, we'll talk about that in a minute, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And then the Bible says in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is called the great white throne judgment. Now, someone raised the question one time, will you and I be able to see that? And the answer is yes, because the Bible says that we will be with the Lord forever. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord, so shall we ever be with the Lord. He is the judge. We will be there. We will see people that we know. We will see people that we witnessed to. We will see people that we should have witnessed to. We will see loved ones, perhaps, I hope not. Family members, I hope not. And they will stand at this judgment. And there are several things obvious about this judgment. It is not for the saved, it's for the lost. It is for the dead. That's the only category of folks that are in this judgment. Nobody is exempt, small and great. I believe that you will see at this judgment presidents and paupers. You will see at this judgment rich men and people who lived in abject poverty. You will see in this judgment men who were famous, who were known across the world, and you'll see people that nobody ever heard of. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished. It doesn't matter what men thought of you. Nothing will exempt people from this judgment if they're lost. Everyone will stand there. You see some wicked person on TV stand up and say some wicked thing, and you think, I can't believe anybody could be that wicked. They'll be at that judgment that day. And then there are people that you've never heard of that'll be at that judgment. It is a judgment for everyone. Nobody's exempt. The small and great will be there. And the Bible's very clear. It says they will stand before God. When I was talking to this man that was examining me on Tuesday, I understood a couple of things. And one of them is he had absolute authority to decide, pass or fail. He did not, there was no negotiating. There was no excusing. It was simply he had absolute authority. And when I said to him, I studied the seven-step method, and when he said there is no seven-step method, I was really perplexed because I saw the book says the seven-step method. But that's not the point. He's right. I'm wrong. I wonder how many people will stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I was baptized. Or, Lord, I did great works. We read the passage in Luke or Matthew that talks about that. But God's the judge. He has absolute authority. No one can argue with him. No one can change his mind. No one can negotiate. There is no gray area. It is absolute. God is going to be the authority there. And he's going to judge according to the books. And I believe he's talking about the books of the Bible. And the interesting thing is, when the man was giving me the test on Tuesday, he said to me, "Do you have the book?" Let me ask you a question. Do you have the book? Amen? Amen? People say, "Well, I don't believe the Bible." What a foolish thing to say. God's going to judge you by this book. God's going to judge the lost by this book. This is the standard. And by the way, you better have the right version. You better have God's version. This is the standard, and there's no excuse. If I'd have said to the man, "No, I don't have the book," he'd have thought, "What a fool. You came to take this test, and you didn't even read the book?" Well, I showed him. I had highlighted and circled and underlined, and I'd marked the book up quite a lot. But that didn't matter. The point is, you better have the book. And then, one more thing about this judgment, and this isn't really the point of the message, but it's just interesting to know. There's another book, and it's the book of life. Now, that book of life, I think, the Bible talks about it elsewhere, not an awful lot, but the book of life, I'm just going to tell you, I understand it to be a list of those who have received Christ as their Savior. Because the Bible talks about blotting names out of that book. Now, that's interesting. I'm not going to go there. I just want to mention this to you, and that is, God is not willing that any should perish. Amen? So, the book of life. Now, let me ask you this. Anybody here that can say to me, "Pastor, I have done such a good job of adhering to, in fact, I have done a perfect job of adhering to the standards in this book, that when God examines me, he will find me faultless." Anybody here can say that? No. Well, nobody that's at the judgment of the dead is going to be able to say that either. The question is not, were you perfect? On Tuesday, I didn't have to be perfect. I had to be good enough. I wasn't even that. How many folks have said to you, "I think I'm good enough to go to heaven"? No, you're not. And so this Lamb's Book of Life simply lists those that have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross. Amen? That's us. Now, we're not going to be at this judgment, but I know a lot of folks there that are going to think, "Oh, I hope my name's in that book. I wish my name was in that book." It's not going to be there. And the Bible says very, very plainly, with no beating around the bush, in verse 15, if they were not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. That is the judgment of the lost. I want to spend a few minutes on the judgment of the saved. Let me ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And just we'll kind of launch off there. Hebrews chapter 10. Then I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians after that. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll spend a few minutes in 2 Corinthians. I'll read these verses to you if you haven't got time to find them. But I thought Hebrews chapter 10 was particularly powerful. Just a little simple statement it makes. It's a quote from the Old Testament. I did not look at the cross-reference, but Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30, the last six words in that verse, the last six words in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30, "The Lord shall judge his people." There's no doubt about it. Amen? We're going to be judged. Amen? No question. Romans 14, 10, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There's a lot of information there, but it's very, very straightforward. Let me ask you a question. Based on that verse, do you think this is going to be just a cursory, "You were pretty good, you didn't do too good"? Do you think it's going to be a cursory kind of a judgment or a detailed kind of a judgment? Detailed, amen? I think details matter. I found that out yesterday. Details matter, amen? little things. Now, little things add up to big things. But there are details in our lives that reveal the big things. I'll give you an example. If, and some of you, well, I won't even say it. If you have a genuine understanding of God's standards, and you have a choice then, and that is, will I or will I not live by those? And if you just live by them every now and then, you really don't care. It's when we know this is what God wants, and I care about what God wants, and therefore I do what God wants. That's a demonstration of a big thing about me, how I feel about God's will. But it's a sum of little things that adds up to that. No, it's going to be a detailed judgment. He says there in verse 10 that we'll receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done. I'll give you some more verses in a minute. Now, do you think this? Will the man who truly loved Christ and sacrificed to serve him have the same result in that judgment as the person who was disobedient and only served the Lord when it was easy or convenient? In other words, do you think that the person, I'm thinking of people, easy example would be the missionary Adoniram Judson, who gave up great things, suffered horrible things in order to be a missionary to Burma early to middle 1800s. Do you think he's going to receive the same kind of result from this judgment as the person that lives in this day and goes to church on Christmas and Easter and pretty much lives life the way they want? They're saved by the skin of their teeth, as we say, or, you know, so as by fire, as the Bible says. And by the way, the Bible does say skin of the teeth, but anyway. They're saved, but they really don't do anything for God. They don't care much about God. Do you really think it would be fair if God gave them the same, I'll just use this word, the same score or the same result as he gave Adoniram Judson? Or do you not think that that person that sacrificed more and cared more and endured more deserves a greater result? Amen? The person that endures the most, that suffers the most, sacrifices the most, is the most faithful, the most obedient, that goes through whatever God asks him to go through, that person deserves a greater result. A greater reward is the word I should be using than the person that, whatever. This is a judgment that's going to be fair. God's a fair judge. I need to ask myself, and you do as well, what kind of result do I want? And if you're not seeing your life shaping up to the kind of result that you want, you can do what I did driving home yesterday, and you can ask yourself, what should I do different? Should I change something in order to get the result that I want? And by the way, after the test is given, it's too late to change. Now's the time, right? Did God put all these standards in the New Testament, and there are hundreds and thousands of them, I think, so that they could be used for this judgment? Or that so he could ignore them and brush them under the rug and just say, everybody did a good job, come on in. Here's where I'm trying to go with this. We understand that when we are saved, it's because Christ died for our sins. And so that judgment of the dead, the question is a black and white question. Is the name there or is it not? But for those of us who are saved, that judgment is not. And you may get this misconception, and I've heard this preached before. You may have the misconception that the judgment is going to be, okay, you're saved, your sins are all forgiven, no problem. Now, I understand, you're saved, your sins are all forgiven, you're going to be in heaven. But there is a reward at stake. The Bible teaches that very plainly. It is a reward to be gained or a reward to be lost. It is a reward for doing what the book says or not doing what the book says. That's the kind of judgment that we're going to face. What a great mistake we make if we think the judgment of the saved is the same as the judgment of the lost. In other words, that the Lord would ignore our disobedience or our failure to love him or to serve him or to be faithful to him and give us the same reward that he gives to somebody else who does those things. Yes, we're saved, but no, we will not all be given the same reward in heaven. Just a few thoughts about this judgment. Not won't be long. I'm almost done already. First of all, again, nobody is exempt. He says in verse 10, we must all appear. Now, here's the good news. Yesterday, I took the test. I knew right away the pressure. Okay, you can fail a test and take it again. But here's the problem. VBS is the last week of June. I believe God did it, but it was a miracle that I got a test date before VBS. So when I did not pass the test yesterday, the man says, no problem, come on back and take the test July 17th. Okay. And I thought, well, that's nice, except VBS is the end of June, and I can't be ready by the end of June if I don't take the test till July the 17th. So I came back here to church, and I got on the phone, and I called some people. And I found a place here in town, and they said, oh, hey, if you'd come over to our truck driving shop, if you'll take 2 hours of lessons for $85 an hour, we'll give you the test June the 8th. Praise the Lord. I'm still not looking forward to that test. But at least there was an opportunity there to get another way, okay? There was a little change of venue, so to speak, or an exception. There are no exceptions when God judges us. It's one judgment. He picks the time. That's it. We must all appear. I need to go home. You need to go home and think about this. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And it's going to be a detailed examination. And again, maybe the folks that need to hear this the most wouldn't even be here tonight. But we need to remember, this is not a joke. Whether or not you take it seriously, it's going to happen. Whether or not you prepare for it, it's going to happen. Whether or not you've lived a life that is ready to be judged like this, it's going to be judged. I will be judged that way. You will be judged that way. I know, I think everyone here tonight, as far as I know, professes Christ as Savior. If you don't, you need to get saved, because that other judgment is going to be far, far worse. But this is an important matter. No exemptions. Nobody gets special treatment. 1 Peter 1:17 says that God will judge without respect of persons. There's no special cases. There's no exemption clauses. The book applies to everyone the same. Now look at verse 10 again, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Why? Why is this judgment occurring? What's the result of it? On Monday, or Tuesday, I'm sorry, I'm still not quite all there. On Tuesday, if I had passed this man's examination, he would have issued me a piece of paper which authorized me to receive a commercial driver's license. That would have been the result. What's the result when we stand before the Lord? It's right here in verse 10. He says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I need to add to that a little bit. Look at chapter 3. And verse 14, say 1 Corinthians, you got to change books here. 1 Corinthians 3:14 to understand the rest of this. 1 Corinthians 3:14. He says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive, there's my word, a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. And of course, the work is going to be made manifest in verse 13. The day shall declare it. Often in the Bible, that phrase, the day, refers to the day of judgment. And that's the case there in 1 Corinthians 3:14, or the 3:13. The day shall declare it. It shall be revealed. And then there's that illustration there of can it be burned or not. Now, we won't go there right now. But if any man's work abide, he will be receiving a reward in verse 14. And you remember the Bible says it'd be good for us to receive a full reward. This is an eternal reward. This is something that's going to last for all eternity. I'm glad I get a second chance to take that test I failed yesterday, because I'd hate for them to say, you can never take it again. But this examination before the Lord Jesus Christ is one time. And there's a reward at stake. You say, oh, I don't care about rewards, Pastor. Oh, you will. You will. It would be a shame to have to enter into eternity saved so as by fire. The judgment is based upon the things done in this body. It says, I'm back in chapter 5 again in verse 10. He says, whether it be good or bad. And then I won't ask you to turn there, but Matthew 12 says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Even the little tiny things. Sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, as a pastor, it discourages me when I see people miss church. And you think, is there any consequence for that? Yes, there really is. Sometimes I see people put themselves ahead of the Lord, or put themselves ahead of the Lord's work, and you say, well, they just do it every now and then. Is there a consequence for that? Yes, there really is. if we need to understand, there is an examination, there is a judgment, and those little details do matter. Now, how can I use all this in my life? And I'm finished. I'll just read this to you and I'll be done. First of all, watch this. If you ever see somebody and you think they're getting away with it, they're not getting away with it. Now you got to understand, we're supposed to love each other, right? So the attitude that I must have and that you must have is not all good. That person's not doing what they're supposed to. God's going to get them. That's not the right attitude. That's not the way you want folks to think about you. Here's the attitude. The attitude is, please let me exhort you. Let me warn you. Let me encourage you. It's not too late to do what's right. It so discourages me. This little girl, I'll just tell you part of the story. Her parents got saved, and I'm trying to remember which one it was. I think it was her dad that came forward in an invitation in Maryland. And then mom got saved in their home shortly after that, if I recall correctly. And that was before she was even born. And this little girl is now 16, who's gotten pregnant out of wedlock and is angry because her father won't give her an abortion. And so she ran away from home and she's in jeopardy. And she's on the endangered child list and they're looking for her to try to find her. That could have been prevented. Now, I'll tell you something. I remember hearing the story, it was after I was gone, of her parents saying, we want her to have a better education. We don't think the Christian school's good enough for her. We're going to put her someplace where they've got programs and opportunities. Yeah, she found an opportunity, didn't she? And I'm telling you, I've seen that happen. I'll tell you another story as long as we're at it, and it's not anywhere, I hate to even use it, but just mention it. A lady was working for us as a teacher's aide. We gave our teacher's aides free tuition for their children to go to school in Maryland. She had a young man, her son, who was at that time, what about, you figure, Deborah, 13, 14, something like that, Marlene? Probably about 13. And she said to me, she said, please don't make me put my child in the Christian school. He's happy in the public school. Let me tell you the end of that young man's life. When he was about 20, which happened about 3 years ago, in Washington, D.C., apparently it was a gang initiation. I can't prove that. I know he had to be on drugs because of what happened. He stole a car, wrecked it. The policeman tried to stop him. He wrestled with the policeman, tried to take the policeman's gun away, stole another car, and the police chased him, and he died in the car wreck. You say, well, Pastor, if he'd have gone to Christian school, would that have prevented that? It might have. I know this. He found some friends wherever he was, and now he's in eternity, and I think he could have been saved. What I'm trying to say to you is this. We don't rejoice when someone fails this judgment. When you and I are standing there, when I'm standing there watching you be judged, and when you're standing there watching me be judged, the thought is going to be, oh, I hope they do well. Oh, I hope they do well. And we ought to encourage each other now that way, shouldn't we? Amen? This is not, let's get even with somebody. Oh, you didn't show up, so you deserve to be punished. No, we're on the same side here. But I don't have to, and I have a trouble with this. You can pray for me. I don't have to grieve over everyone's failure to love God as they should. They'll stand before God one day based upon that. I have enough of my own problems to deal with. Although as a pastor, I do concern myself with those matters quite a lot, and I should. But if you think it's unfair that other Christians, church members maybe even, are doing things that don't please God, don't serve God, and you remember there's a judgment, they will receive whatever reward they earn one day, just as you will. God will judge fairly. If you're grieved when people walk away from church or from God or from their ministry or when they're not faithful, when they don't show up or whatever it might be, just remember, there is a judgment. And God's going to make it all right. Amen? God's going to make it all right. At the end, those people that practiced what they read in this book, and that starts with loving Him and doing what He said, those people are going to receive what the Bible calls a full reward. The other side of the spectrum is, in 1 Corinthians, where they will be saved so as by fire, but their works will all be burned up. And there will be some people in heaven I don't know how to describe this. There will be some people in heaven, and they will be there. I don't know how to use the word. They're not going to receive the reward that Adoniram Judson is going to receive, or that some other folks are going to receive. We need to remember, judgment leaves no opportunity to go back. We can serve as casually and as lazily as we want, or we can love the Lord and we can serve Him with great vigor. Either way, the judgment will bring that out. Some have served faithfully, some have not. Revelation 22:12, He says, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And then 2 John 1:8, I quoted earlier, He says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." After I was finished yesterday driving home, I would have thought maybe I could have done this different or that different or whatever, but then it was too late. The time to prepare was before the examination. Amen? Folks, we're going to be judged. And you can look around you and see other people that are not prepared for that judgment, and you can say, "What about them?" Just take care of yourself. The Lord will take care of them. You can pray for them. You can encourage them. You can try to help them. But the attitude should be, please understand, there's going to be a judgment. It's not too late to be ready. What are you thinking? Everything in this world is going to be burned up. That day ought to mean a lot more to us than it does, shouldn't it? After that day occurs, we will wish it had, I guarantee. Let's all stand and pray.